God was trying to say to us, and that clip showed Retief, you know, so beautifully from Late Kills, and just worshiping together, and just seeing what so many people came to sing with Tom English also there, English, there I'm getting it right now, coming to share with us. But the one thing that stood out for me at the conference is the fact that God is seeking worshipers and those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And not Hillsong's DVD worship. And I have nothing against Hillsong's. I have nothing against the guys from Reading. But what I see nowadays is that people look at those DVDs and then they want to emulate that. They want to copy that and they want to do it here. And there's a copycat worship that Christ is not into, but there's an authentic worship that Christ loves that comes from the Spirit. And what Hillsong's does is authentic for them, it's authentic for everybody there, but it's not necessarily authentic for us. And I'm bringing that to our imaginations here this morning because I want Christ to touch our imaginations. I want God to touch our hearts, and I want God to touch our spirits so that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because we're heading for glorious days. I can see it, and I was sensing it. And this one evening, we sang a Zulu song. And Retief Burger sang that Zulu song. And I only can remember this one line, Bayete, Bayete, Bayete. But it's about the seraphim, the angels singing with God, just seeing that God is holy. And my heart just opened up again for Africa. My heart opened up for the Khoisas. My heart opened up for the Zulus. My heart opened up for so many people that we're not reaching. And it was like God was saying, Africa, He has chosen Africa as a place of worship. And it was so beautiful just in that moment, seeing what God was trying to say to us. And I can remember just weeping, just lying on my head and just weeping, gut-wrenching weeping. For the nations. And the beauty of seeing that all coming together. As Christ is seeking those who worship Him right across the globe. And God's eyes is watching who's worshiping me. And so this morning I want to talk about that and where it all started. And I'm gonna do the upper room. We're going to do upper room moments this morning because it's something glorious and it's something beautiful that the church must get back. And so this morning, it's important that we see what Christ was wanting to do. Now, just to give you background, Christ died, He has risen, He went to His Father, and He told His disciples, I want you to go to the upper room, I want you to wait there for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will give you power. And you will be my witnesses to the nations. You'll start in Jerusalem, you'll do it in Samaria, you'll do it in Judea, but you'll go to the nations. And that was God's heart. And Jesus sends the disciples back as He ascends. He sends His disciples and they wait, they tarry in the upper room. And we're going to talk this morning about an upper room moment. What happened in the upper room? What happened there? And so we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, and Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Then they turned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and His brothers. And then Acts chapter 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost has arrived, they were all together in one place. I really believe God is taking His church back to that. To a place where we can pray and sing together. And I want to speak to the men first. I don't know if you noticed, but there are names of men there. Men praying. Men taking authority and praying. God even knows the names. But it also speaks that there were ladies. And it's a beautiful picture of how God comes together, but it's specific. Christ is specific. The Holy Spirit is specific in saying why he names the men first. Then he talks about the ladies. And if you read in the book of 1 Timothy, it says, I want every man everywhere to lift up holy hands. So God is wanting to take his church back to a place like this where they can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can be part. Now that excites me a lot. When we can go back to that place, back to the place of the upper room. And the first thing that I want you to notice when they went back, number one, is they had an expectancy to meet with God. They had a desire to see the Holy Spirit. They had a desire to experience the Holy Spirit. They had a desire that God would walk into their lives and change their lives forever. There was an expectancy to receive something so powerful from the Holy Spirit, which is so beautiful. And I'm wanting to challenge us on that, because in that expectancy, there was so much hope for them. You see, Scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, something that you hope for, it does not come to pass. It makes you feel sad. It even makes you depressed. It makes the heart grow sick. But not them. There was an excitement within their hearts that they would meet the Holy Spirit. They would meet God. God would walk into their lives, and God would change their lives. They had that hope. And the second thing with that with that expectancy is the fact that they knew whatever they waited for there would give them victory. Oh, how Christ longs that we would wait for him. That we would wait for God. That we would wait for the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit touches us. And then when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when Christ speaks to us, we can have victory. Because whatever comes from the throne room of God will come to pass. Whatever comes from the throne room of God, it cannot die. It will bear fruit. And you know what happened there when they had that expectancy? They waited for the unbelievable. If you were to tell them 2 years earlier, look here, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, it's going to touch you, and then you're going to speak in tongues, there's going to be fire on your heads, then they would have told their best friends, stop smoking marijuana. You're out of your mind. But that's exactly what happens when we have an expectancy. Christ will touch us. The unbelievable will happen when we as a group of people wait together. And Scripture specific, Scripture says there were only 120. The 12 apostles, the woman, we can speculate about who was there. I had a suggestion that some of the apostles were married, their families were there, were their children. And they also mentions Jesus' mother's name, Mary. She was also there. This is the last time then we hear from Mary in Scripture. After this, we don't hear from Mary anymore. But she was there on the day that the church was launched. The church wasn't birthed in Acts. The church was launched. God knew about the church long before Acts. God knew about the church in the Garden of Eden. And so if God knew about the church, God knew that people would come together to wait expectantly. Did you come with an expectation this morning? Or did you come to sit? Christ wants us to come with an expectation of the glorious. An expectation of the unbelievable. When we sing to God, you see, because worship is not slow songs, man. Worship and praise is when we sing to the glorious God and he touches us. He comes and empowers us because we've come with an expectancy. Last year, I had this prayer with God. This year we took, for all the visitors and people that are, this year we took a missions team to Switzerland, Germany, and the Netherlands. We also had a mission team that did a mission trip right around the Boland here. And one evening while I was sitting down, I said, God, for this trip, we need 160,000 rand. That's all that I said. God, we need 160,000 rand because I have an expectancy to preach the gospel. God gave it, 160,000 rand for missions. You see, there's a lot that God can do with an expectancy. I didn't expect money from God. You know what I expected from God? I expected God to be there because God saw that I was serious. I was serious about preaching the gospel to the nations. Because God is a God of the nations. God is a God of the Zulus, the Xhosas, the Afrikaans. God is a God of nations. He's a God of the British. Or the Sheilas in Australia. He's that God. And so whenever we're serious, because these guys, they were serious in the upper room. They were serious about going to the nations. But in their mind, it was only the Jewish nation. That is why the Apostle Paul had to come to take the gospel to the uttermost ends of the earth, because that is how God thinks. But you see, when you have an expectancy, a godly expectancy, and you come, there's a lot that God can do with somebody that has an expectation. I can tell you that. If we don't come with expectation, God will not meet us there. God can only meet you there where you are right now. So where are you right now? Because He can only meet you there. If my wife's in Pick and Pay, I can't meet her in Checkers. She might think that she really wants to meet me in Checkers, but she can't because she must walk to Checkers to meet me in Checkers. She can't be in Pick and Pay and say, meet me in Checkers. Now, I don't know how we do Christianity. I mean, God help me, God help me, but then you're at home. I've been talking to Carlos. I can't find a job. And then I asked, now, where's your CV? Where did you send your CV to? Nobody. Good luck in finding a job. You'll find a job. You with me? You with me on what I'm trying to say when it comes to an expectancy? But the expectancy I'm talking about right here is the expectancy of seeing Jesus. It's not money. It's not a car. I really have an expectancy every Sunday to meet with God. And I really believe God is wanting us to take us back to the place of the upper room, where we will have upper room moments where we can meet with the living God, the Christ. My heart yearns to see Him. My heart yearns to hear from Him. I'll tell you, there's nothing else that I would like to hear now than Him speaking. Nothing else. And it's burning in my heart because I know God wants to send us to the nations. God wants to empower us to go to Africa. God wants us to go into Worcester and to preach the gospel. I have that expectancy within my heart. And I know that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The second thing that they had, they were with one accord. This phrase is found 11 times in the book of Acts. And it's made up of two words, the same mind. It's made up of two words, same, and the other word is mind. The phrase speaks of people sharing the same mind or thinking like-minded. Now, it doesn't say that we have to think the same about everything. That's not what it's saying. What it is saying is, I can think a certain way about something, Angela can think a certain way about something, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, we all think the same about what the Holy Spirit says. I lay my will down. I don't have a will anymore, then I lay it down. We all listen to the Holy Spirit. to the Holy Spirit speaking. And it's so beautiful because these 120, they were in one accord. Unanimous. Thinking the same, because God said, wait there. The Holy Spirit will come. You see, if everyone has an expectancy for God, He will come. And as everyone has that instruction from Him, we wait there. It's a beautiful picture. There was a togetherness. And you know what I like about the upper room is the fact that these guys in the upper room, they didn't have faith in the Lord alone. You know what is so special about them? They had faith in one another. Because you must remember now, one brother hanged himself, Judas. Peter deserted the Lord. In fact, 11 of them, Judas hanged him, the other 10 ran away. Watch this. Only John was there with Jesus' mother. Now, I want you to think about those meetings that they had there. Oh, it was pleasant meetings. Okay, so why did you run away? I know Jesus reinstated you, but can we talk about the fact that nobody was there when my son was dying? I'm just imagining Mary speaking. Nobody was there when my son was dying. Let's talk about this. I know you're his apostles. Can we sort this out? We have a family meeting. And then John says, yes, I was the only brother there. And he told me to look after her. So I must look after her now. I'm like a son. But what they established is the fact that they had faith in one another. God brought them together. Jesus gave them an assignment. The Holy Spirit was going to give them power. But at the same time, they had faith in one another. They had to look at each other. Okay, Peter, it's fine that you deserted the Lord. Christ forgave you. Okay, doubting Thomas, your fingers was in the Lord's hands. We forgive you for doubting. You see, when pressure comes, all the filth comes out of your heart. Pressure. Druk. Druk is eintlik mooier woord as pressure. Want as jy iemand druk, dan kan daar baie uitkom. The English word pressure doesn't explain it so beautiful, but pressure does that. So they together, they're in one accord. And what I love about them, they set aside their feelings. It was not about how they feel. You see, when you're waiting on God, when you have an expectancy, you can't be sentimental. You put your feelings aside and you say, we're together, we're listening, we're here to receive from Christ. And they made a beautiful commitment to one another. It's a beautiful commitment that they made there. They said, look, we're going to stay here. Jesus is gone. He said the Holy Spirit is coming. Now just imagine, you can't be sentimental when Jesus talks about something that's coming. I mean, you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so the Holy Spirit, what is this? Dat kom seker nog. You see, that's when sentimentalism comes. Maybe I should go back to my day job. It's day two already. We don't know how long they waited there. Waiting for something you can't see. You've never seen it. Only after it came, then they could see it. They could see the fire on each other's heads, and they could hear each other speak in tongues. Dasharabutu tukino. And oh, how did they speak a lot of languages? But you can't get sentimental when you're in the trenches there. But what did they do? The last thing, they were in continuous prayer. Continuous prayer and worship. That's what the scripture says. They were continually praying and worshiping God. And my heart burns this morning that our church would come back to that place of the upper room. where we sing songs by heart because it has changed our lives. It's funny, these new songs that we sing, they don't stay in our hearts. But all the great hymns, they're stuck in our hearts, how great thou art. It's funny, I don't know why it works like that. I'm not saying anything against the new songs, please. It's just there was a time when we had to learn all these old hymns. We had to learn them by heart because there was no technology. And so we can sing how great thou art. Some verses we don't know, then we hum. Savior God, the great thou art. Great thou art. You know how it goes when you don't know the songs. But that's fine. But God is wanting us to take us to a place where we continue in prayer together, seeking His face, waiting for Him with an expectancy, worshiping Him, praying and worshiping, praying and worshiping. Because the scripture says they were continuously praying with supplication. So they were continuously singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. With an expectancy, God, you're going to come, but God, we worship you. God, we're worshiping you and we're praying to you, not because we want anything. We're doing this because we're expecting you to pitch. We're expecting you to come into our lives and change our lives forever, God. They waited. And then the Holy Spirit came and it gave them power. And no other movement or move has ever exceeded this. From there, the church was birthed. And I want to say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for those of you sitting here that don't believe in church, please get into a church as soon as you can. I'm saying this deliberately. Christ is a Christ of the church, because this is how the church was birthed. And there's a pattern that we need to learn if we want to build healthy churches. Scripturally, what scripture says, this is how the church was birthed. Sorry, not birthed, launched. Because it was birthed in eternity. Christ knew that He was going to plant the church. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. You see, Jesus was there from the beginning. So He knew about building a church. And I want to make this statement clear. This thing that is being preached around the world about you don't have to belong to a church, you don't have to be in covenant. Please, people, I'm begging you and I'm praying. Please get undercover. Please connect to a family of believers. Make it formal, like these 120 that made it formal. And from there, the church grew. Scripture says the church grew day by day. Added day by day, and scripture says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, teaching and everything, breaking of bread and prayer, from house to house, and in the big groups, the church. And so Christ is longing for that church again that's seeking Him. Can I tell you why I'm deliberate about that this morning? Why I want to encourage you, I'm not rebuking you, I'm encouraging you to connect to a church, to a family. Can I tell you why? Because the way the enemy is taken, I don't know if you noticed how pastors are being taken out. Guys, it's scary. How people are being taken, how people are dying, how people failing morally, having affairs. It's scary. It is scary, scary. And I'm really appealing to you this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's an urgency within my heart, and I know it's the urgency of the Holy Spirit to bring us back to a place of the upper room so that we can understand what church is about. And the Holy Spirit didn't come to give them powers like the X-Men or Marvel Comics, Superman or Captain America. Want Jesus sal enige een van hulle op enige dag ore aan sit. But what I want to say, the reason why Christ came
He said that they could preach the gospel. They must do miracles so that the gospel can be preached, the gospel of the risen Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit came, to empower them, to comfort them, to love them. Because, you know, if your son is being chased in one of these Muslim countries, like a lot of my friends are to run out of Pakistan to neighboring countries, the only thing that will keep you sane is the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing. When you go through trouble sometimes, the only thing, and the only support structure that will truly be able to support you is the church of the living God. In Pakistan, where I was, the people have great respect for church. In Pakistan, you take your shoes off when you walk into church. That's just the way that they do it. In Pakistan, you don't sit down with your Bible on the floor. If your Bible goes lower than your hips, it's disgraceful. But just the power that those churches have in praying, and I mean they're being persecuted. I tell you, they've been persecuted by, but I can tell you they have so much respect. Even in China, as Professor Corda Becker was speaking to us, you know, and just in China, sometimes in China the persecution is so serious, you can't tell where church is. You need to pray where church is. And then God must tell you where the church is. Then you can go there and then you can have church, even if it's under a tree. But the people in the East, they have a great respect for church. It's only here in the West, America, South Africa, where we are, shall I go to church? The wind's too strong. I'll stay at home. Waffles. I'll have waffles this morning. It's only in South Africa that we play darts. Or to which church am I going to go this morning? Shofar. Let's go to Shofar. It's lekker. It's lekker by Shofar. You know, guys, we laugh about this. But I can see, I'm seeing this thing coming. So many people are getting hurt in church, outside of church, wherever. But there's a purity of heart that Christ sees in us. I've been preaching now for 5 years. It's not a long time. Maar ek het nog nooit 'n lap om 'n seer vinger gedraai nie. Those who know me for these 5 years, you know how I preach. We preach the gospel, the truth. We interpret the gospel. We interpret the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. And did I make some mistakes? Yes. But just the honesty that comes from Scripture and the purity that God wants from our hearts, that is likable. We don't preach Hogwarts and Polony. We preach truth as Scripture states it. This book determines where we go. And at conversions, you know what was a defining comment for me? All the speakers that came from America, Reverend Frank Chikane, all of them said, guys, there's a purity in your worship. There's a purity and honesty in the way that you do things. That is why we want to come back here always. And that blessed me. In seeing that we really want to stay continuous in prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit, having an expectancy for Christ where we can preach Jesus and just interpret Scripture. We don't interpret anything else, we just interpret Scripture. That's a blessing for me, and I'll stick with that. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people that have disagreed with me concerning a lot of things, but I also can tell you, I'm still standing, and I'm still preaching the same gospel. Christ died, He is risen, and we plant the cross in front of everybody, and they must choose life. That gospel, it's nothing new. It's just that's the gospel and how we interpret it. But the enemy is coming in, I'll tell you, he's wanting to take people out. And I want to encourage each and every one of you this morning. When we're all at that place with an expectancy, we're in one accord, and we're continually praying and worship, we're at the safest place that we can be. There's not a safer place than that. And to be honest, I don't know what I should say about my brothers that are being persecuted by ISIS, Pakistan. I don't know what to say to them, because I'm scared of saying something that's going to sound cheap or very churchy, you know, church lingo. I really don't have any, I don't know, all that I can do is pray from sincerity, from a sincere heart, and the only thing that I can do, I can pray as it comes from that sincere heart. I can also pray just with the honesty, with no sentiment, and say glory to God for those who died. I can't say anything else. But I know Christ is wanting to catapult his church, because he's coming back for his bride. He's jealous over her. And you know what this morning, David, if you in the band can come, you know what this morning I want you to realize? Can we do "Oh, How He Loves Us"? Please. You know what I want us to realize this morning? I'm trusting God as we're singing together, there is love for you who descend. But as you sing to this morning, please do me this favor. Don't think of yourself as an individual. I want to change your mind a bit this morning. Think of yourself as, I'm part of Christ's church. Think of yourself as, I'm his bride. Vir die mans, hier is julle kans nou om 'n bruid te wees. This is your last and final chance. And just see how he's coming for us. Don't think me. Don't think I. Forget about your pain now. Think of the church. Come together as a body. That's why we sing Afrikaans and we sing English. And David, and all the other worship leaders, we're going to have to sing that song, which Retief done that Friday evening. Bayete, bayete, seraphim, seraphim. We're going to get somebody that speaks Zulu, and she or he must help us in pronouncing it, the Zulu. We're going to sing it here, because we're going to open up our hearts for every other culture that we're not seeing in church yet. We're going to trust God. God must help us. But I want you just to, in your heart, just think, I'm part of the bride. Christ is coming for me. And oh, how he loves us. Can we do that this morning? Can I ask that of you this morning? Because Christ is coming for us. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a harvest of souls. I want to be part of that. Wherever God runs now, and at this stage, God is running with the youth. I want to go there where the youth is. I want to preach the gospel to them. It's not that I'm not saying God is not saving other people. No, no, no. God has a heart to reach the youth. And that is where, if God says so, all of us go. So we all in one accord. But I want us just to stay focused. Can we stand as we sing the song, and then I'll pray for us. But please don't think of how he loves me. Think of how he loves us. How he loves the church. He loves the church. He's coming back for his church. The local church, the global church. I want us to get that.